This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
I'm no, Greg Cosell or anybody like that.
Just go out there, put some things on film.
We'll see it on film.
The other thing that jumped out, learning from film.
Watching film a lot.
Now we break it down on film.
That really comes with studying film.
Greg Cosell here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Senior producer from NFL Films, Greg Cosell.
He is the best film watcher and film breakdowner, if that's a word, of anybody that did not play or coach in the NFL.
A direct quote from Greg Cosell of NFL Films.
He can line up anywhere. This guy has a really streamlined frame. He looks effortless when he moves.
He's a high-level athlete, and in today's NFL, the middle of the field is an area that gets attacked and you must defend.
Greg Cosell knows the game and communicates the game at a really high level.
He's been doing what he's doing a lot longer than a lot of people have been doing what they've been doing. 45-plus years, he is the great Greg Cosell.
Him doesn't lie. Doesn't lie.
I call him the civilian goat.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
This is exciting for us to get the opportunity to talk with Greg Cosell, especially as OTAs open up and there's been some stories about the quarterback over the last couple of days. He joins us on the Circa Las Vegas Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Greg, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Why don't we start with Caleb Williams, and why don't we go back to your draft analysis on him? What did you think of him coming out of USC, and what were your highs and your lows? What were your concerns of him becoming an NFL player?
Yeah, well, first of all, you have to start. You always start with how a guy throws a football. I mean, that's number one, and he throws the ball really, really well. I mean, that's the bottom line, is he throws the ball exceptionally well. So you start there. You could argue that, you know, his ability to control the ball and place it where he wanted to place it, that can't be overstated. You know, he I would say that his that's his greatest strength that I saw. He had really good spatial awareness to kind of navigate chaos and kind of function intelligently and athletically at game speed. I thought, though, that there were times where he you know, he just didn't have a really good feel for pressure. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of teams do, I can't do this, I'm one person, but one of the things a lot of teams do is they go back years and years. And quarterbacks that get sacked a lot in college, often guys get sacked a lot in the NFL. That's something that doesn't often change. Now, you're going to try to fix that, obviously, with your offensive concepts and your philosophy, which Ben Johnson's going to try to do. But quarterbacks that tend to retreat backwards, and he has a tendency to do that, you can't do that in the NFL. Maybe Lamar Jackson can do it, but, you know, he's a freak. You just can't do that in the NFL. And the other thing that I think was a little bit of an issue, it's an issue for a lot of quarterbacks coming out of college, is just the operational part. And this is not talked about very often, is we're talking now about just getting in and out of the huddle and getting to the line of scrimmage so there's not 4 or 5 seconds on the play clock. you know, these college quarterbacks, this is not specific to Caleb Williams, but it was a factor, is these guys don't huddle. So you're talking about calling plays in a huddle, which you have to learn. That's a learned trait, calling it with conviction, calling it at just the right speed. You can't say it too fast, but you can't say it too slowly either, at just the right speed so that you can get out of the huddle and get to the line of scrimmage so the quarterback, in this case, Caleb Williams, can look at the defense. Because in the NFL, you know, unlike college, it can't all be what we call pure progression, where the defense and how they line up is not a big factor. It is a big factor. And so you can't figure out and have an understanding of that when there's 4 seconds left on the play clock.
Greg Cosell is, you know, one of the OGs of film watching, of film breakdown. I mean, the dude invented Monday night matchup, for God's sakes, an NFL matchup. There's a lot there in your Caleb answer. Want to focus on this idea of time to throw and or getting sacked in college being something that does transfer to the NFL a lot of times, and this image of the quarterback just going backwards and backwards and backwards. Here they are with this massive free agent and trade infusion in the middle of the offensive line, perhaps trying to, you know, make Caleb stop doing that and enable him to stand strong. What will you be looking at? What should we be looking at as we hopefully see him make a step in that regard in staying in the pocket and staying on time and getting rid of the ball in Ben Johnson's offense? How should we be looking for that?
Yeah, and some of that will be a function of Ben Johnson's offense because he's really good, and we can get to that if you like in a sec. But one of the things Caleb Williams has to clean up is he had a tendency to step up into the pocket when there was no need to step up into the pocket. And when you do that, you create your own pressure. And a lot of quarterbacks do these kinds of things. And so automatically people think, oh, the offensive line stinks. But a lot of quarterbacks create their own pressure by moving when they do not need to move. And that's something that has to be worked on. It has to be drilled. Now, some coaches might say that's innate. I mean, for instance, I was talking to a coach. This is unrelated, but it does relate to a certain extent, about Shedeur Sanders this year, who also retreats backward. And I spoke to a coach who's been in the league for years and years, and he said, boy, that's a really hard thing to fix. You know, that's kind of an innate reaction. So, you know, certain things, the way a quarterback moves when he perceives or feels pressure. And also keep one thing in mind. There's a big difference between pressure in college and the NFL. In the NFL, pressure is not when there are people near you. You have to be able to function in the NFL when there are bodies around you, when the pocket is squeezed. You can't automatically break down and leave the pocket. So that's something else that I think Caleb Williams needs to work on. C.J. Stroud found that out this year. His O-line wasn't quite as good as it was his rookie year, and he had to go through a little bit of a learning process that, hey, when there's people around me, I still have to make throws. You can't just bail. You can't hurry yourself. You've still got to make throws. So, you know, all of this is a learning process, which, you know, I've been doing this a long time, guys. I was taught the quarterback position by maybe the best guy there was in Bill Walsh. So none of this for me is a surprise at all. I know maybe people listening think, oh, my God, you know, what are you saying? None of this is a surprise. You know, I've been watching quarterbacks for a long time.
So what did you want to talk about in terms of the Ben Johnson offense and how it can correlate to this improvement that Caleb needs?
Well, one thing I think that Ben Johnson does maybe better than any, he's essentially a coordinator. Now he's obviously head coach, but as an offensive mind and in the pass game, is what he does is spacing of routes. And that really clears up the picture very often for quarterbacks quickly. He does such a great job with route spacing. It's more, you notice it more versus zone, but it still means something versus man. So that it just presents a cleaner picture for quarterbacks. Keep one thing in mind. When teams play zone on defense, there's stress points. There's conflict areas. The defensive coaches know that, and they're trying to minimize that. The offensive coaches are trying to get players into those conflict areas, into space. So defenses are trying to minimize space. Offensive coaches are trying to maximize space. Ben Johnson maximizes space with his route concepts as well as any offensive mind in the NFL.
That's why we were really excited when we started to dig deeper into the Colston Loveland tape of him coming out of Michigan and saying, well, here's a tight end that can run routes seemingly like a wide receiver, and it could set up some really good matchups for what Ben Johnson wants to do.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see. You know, the Lions last year played a lot of 12 personnel. A lot of teams, good teams, play a lot of 12 personnel, meaning one back and two tight ends. But they also play a lot of 11 personnel with three wide receivers. I'm going to be really curious to see sort of what the balance is, because they drafted one of my favorite wideouts in Luther Burden in the second round. I think it was pick 35. I loved him. I thought he was a first-round type player. I know he's been hurt, but he'll be ready to go. So they've got three really good wideouts. All three are a little bit different. So you can play with three wide. They can play with two tight ends, Komet and Loveland. I mean, it's going to be really interesting. He's probably working through that. He may not have the answer to that right now, you know, because you have to go through the rest of the offseason program and then through an entire training camp. But you can do both of those things really well with the personnel that they have.
Greg, what's some of the most interesting or stuff that stuck with you from being in a room with people like Bill Walsh? Like, what are the nuggets of information that you've picked up throughout the years being around some of the great minds of the game?
I would say that it's the details, the nuances, the subtleties, and what a disciplined craft, certainly quarterback is. That's the most visible position, but that really every position is. You know, the game is not about, hey, let's go out and make plays. It plays out that way, and that's what you see when you watch games, but that's not the way it's taught. And just being, you know, look, I've been very, very lucky, guys, in my career for all this to happen the way it's happened. You know, so I'm not saying I'm smarter than anybody else. I've just been really fortunate, and I just love watching tape. I mean, just to give you an example, I'm already starting to look at tape of guys who will be in next year's draft. I mean, that's just what I do, you know. Just the nuances, the subtleties. I mean, I remember having a conversation with Dennis Allen, who's now the DC for you guys, and you know, I've known him for years, and I remember him telling me when I was down in New Orleans a number of years ago, and he said, well, we have 10 versions of cover three. Just think about that. That means you got to coach all that. You got to teach all that. But that means if he has 10 versions of cover three, he's probably got 10 versions of other defenses as well. So it's all nuance. It's all detail. It's all how you coach it, how you teach it. And especially on defense, if one guy makes a mistake, you can give up a 60-yard touchdown. So that's always what's fascinated me, the whole process of it, is how this stuff is taught so that the players can really execute it. Because as we all know, you don't want players to have to think when they're playing. You just want them to be able to react.
What should we be looking for from Dennis Allen in terms of the creativity? I mean, I guess. Is he going to base it on personnel? Like, the best of these guys should look at what they have and then let that be the star as opposed to their scheme, right? It's going to be fascinating to watch.
Well, I think everybody has a lot in their playbook. So, you know, you can do a lot of things, certainly based on your personnel. You know, one of the things I've always asked offensive coordinators through the years is, who are the toughest defensive coaches to play against? And Dennis Allen's name always came up. So, you know, he's really respected in the league. He's really good with pressure concepts. You know, I think that you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it plays out in the secondary. They signed Kyler Gordon to a long-term deal. He's a terrific slot corner. He can play on the outside as well if they want. It'll be interesting to see if Tyreek Stevenson can grow up and be a professional, because he's got a lot of traits to be an outside corner. He's physical. He's competitive. He's got a swagger to him. We know about Jalen Johnson. I guess the big issue is at safety. We don't know what Brisker's status is at this point. You know, they obviously signed Grady Jarrett, who's an excellent three technique type player. So they can do a lot of things personnel wise on the defensive side of the ball. I'm sure Dennis will be figuring that out as well as he goes through the offseason program and training camp, is exactly how he wants to deploy his personnel situationally, because that's what the game is. It's situational.
Yeah,
one of my favorite books is Blood, Sweat, and Chalk. And I love how, like, you go from, we're doing this, to, okay, here's the counter to that. So, okay, so we do this. So here's the counter to that. Considering the amount of film that you've watched, the time that you've been in and around the league, what's your favorite innovation? What do you love that's happening right now in the game?
Well, the game is cyclical. I mean, you know, offenses come up with something, defenses react. Defenses come up with something. I mean, you know, you guys, I mean, you probably weren't around when this was going on, but everybody in Chicago who's older will remember, of course, Buddy Ryan. And for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, that defense, the 46, just teams didn't know how to play against it. And then they figured it out. And now, you know, there's elements of the 46 in everybody's defensive playbook, but it's not, you know, a dominant thing. You know, teams don't just play the 46. So this is the way the league is. And, you know, it's cyclical now. I mean, now you're seeing, for instance, to give you an example, you're seeing a lot more split safety coverages in defense because, you know, a number of years ago when the Legion of Boom was dominant and they had great players, it was all single high and everybody wanted to play single high. And then offenses figured out how to attack that. Because you know you're giving up the seams on both sides of the safety, so now defenses they have to adjust. It'll be interesting to see based on last year, guys, if the running game becomes a bigger factor. Last year there were 6 backs in the league that had over 300 carries. That was the first time that happened, and I don't know how long. You know, is that it's just 1 year? So is it a trend or is it just a snapshot? You know, these are the things that fascinate me. You know, sort of the schematic things that happen in the league, and when I watch tape. When I watch NFL tape, it's different with college. College, I'm focused more on individuals, but the NFL tape, I've become far more focused on tactics and schematics as opposed to just individual players.
Yeah, that's great stuff. And Lawrence and I both love thinking about it like that. I mean, you mentioned Kyler Gordon, you know, and that's the guy that Dennis Allen singled out when he took the job and at his press conference. That's the first guy he said. Yes, there's a safety problem, and they've been saying that Gordon might be able to play a little safety. I wonder if he gets a chance to play out there. If they get creative with him and Byard as the you know safeties in name with Tyreek and Jalen Johnson out there, it's like I'm looking forward to what the creativity could be in that secondary from Dennis.
Well, then they need a slot. I mean, obviously, then you've got to figure out do I have a nickel that I'm comfortable with? You know, because Kyler Gordon, you know. Kyler Gordon came from the University of Washington, and Jimmy Lake was the coach out there for years and years. He was a DB coach or the coordinator, but he's a DB guy. And all his DBs, when they came out of Washington, and Gordon is just like this, are super physical, super competitive. I mean, they can play outside. They can play the slot. Think of Trent McDuffie with the Chiefs, who he played with at the University of Washington. So it would not surprise me if Gordon could play snaps with safety. But as I said, then you have to figure out, you know, who your slot is. I mean, I don't know if they feel that Terrell Smith or you know, could play in the slot. I don't know. You know, they have to figure that out. But Gordon's a really good football player.
To go back to Caleb for a minute, Greg, do you think his style and temperament is a good match with Ben Johnson?
Well, that's a hard question for me to answer, and I'll tell you why. I don't know Kyle. You know, I don't know Caleb Williams. So I don't know what his temperament is. I'm not in the locker room. I can't speak to, you know, how he assimilates information, how he prepares. These are things I can't speak to. You know, I can tell you what the film looks like. I mean, the guy throws, you know, just a beautiful, beautiful ball. I mean, he throws as well as anybody in the league. You know, now it comes down to learning a new offense, understanding all the nuances of it, which takes time, by the way, guys. That's not going to happen week one. You know, don't think if it doesn't all work out in the first 3 weeks that there's a problem. You know, this takes time. You know, I can't answer the part about him as, you know, personally. I do know that he's really gifted, but he clearly has some things that have to be cleaned up or they'll be up and down. You know, everybody looked at his stats last year, and there's no question he didn't throw a lot of picks. You know, the stats are the stats, and that's fine. But you watch the tape, and there were clearly things that need to be addressed. And you know that Ben Johnson is addressing them. You know that for a fact.
Greg Cosell with us on Spiegel & Holmes. I've always wanted to ask you, and I have to, Greg, did you ever watch a game, or lots of them perhaps, with Uncle Howard on the couch or in the broadcast booth standing behind him? Was it that kind of relationship for the nephew,
no,
Greg?
Yeah, no, because you have to remember, when you know, I'm a little older than you guys. So when I was, you know, high school, all that. That was in the 70s, and that's when he was at the height of, you know, his profession. He was on the road. And plus, they lived a little too far away from where I grew up, you know, with my parents, that it wasn't like, oh, let's get together on the weekends. It was too far away.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't really spend, you know, in my formative years, any time like that.
Yeah, my uncle didn't watch games with me either. So I, but I had to ask.
I was in the booth once when he did a game in Philly, you know, but that was about it.
But your nephew does, Speaks. Like,
yeah, no, it's true. My nephew's a play-by-play broadcaster for the Marlins. So, you know, sometimes...
Oh, really?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, sometimes nephews join the business in a tangential way. Was it a point of excitement for you in terms of football as a kid?
You know, it's funny. For people who are younger, they probably aren't aware that in the 60s, the two biggest sports in America were baseball and boxing.
Yep.
So, you know, people who are 25 now probably have no conception of that whatsoever. But I grew up as a baseball guy. I grew up in Queens in New York. My high school did not have a football team. There's not a lot of space. So I was a basketball player and a baseball player. My claim to fame is in high school, I went head-to-head against Ernie Grunfeld, if you know that name.
Sure. The Knicks, legendary Knicks.
Yeah, so I was a baseball player and a basketball player. So, and I loved watching the old AFL in the 60s, you know, because there were two different sports, really. The NFL, everybody wanted to be Vince Lombardi and the Packers and run the ball. And in the AFL, they were tossing the ball all over the yard. So it was almost two different games.
That'll get you into X's and O's, watching those two different games play out at that point.
So I started at Films in 79. And, you know, I always... When I played sports, it was always cerebral to me. So, you know, I gravitated toward this. Steve Sable is really the one responsible for my career. Man. So, but I just gravitate to sports that way. I love the whole process of it. That's what I love, the whole process of how coaches think. You know, it's you know, how they put together things, how they teach it, how they coach it. That's what I find fascinating.
What does it mean to you that you're kind of tasked with curating football history? In your job, like, what does that mean?
You know, it's funny. I don't really think about that. I just show up for work. I just show up and hope my key card gets me in the building and that my password gets me into my computer. You know, and but it's funny. I never, you know, I don't think about that a lot at all, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, I meet people, they always say to me, gee, I'd love your job. And then I tell them that for 8 months, I work 75 hours a week. And they say, well, maybe I don't want your job. So, you know, because there's only one way to watch film. You got to watch it. You know, it doesn't watch itself.
Well, you know, they don't need to be putting any monitors on your iPad like they did with Kyler Murray, right? They don't have to worry about that. They know you're going to be watching.
No, I got a TV screen right here. You obviously can't see it. I'm in my office at Films, but yeah, I got a TV screen and I'm, you know, just sitting. What, you know, that's what I do. I come in every day and I watch tape. And if I miss a day, I kind of feel like, you know, oh boy, I'm getting behind. You know, that's just the way I feel.
Greg, we really appreciate your time, and we know that you're busy and you have to get back to work, but thank you for giving us a few minutes and a great education.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Let's do it again sometime.
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Greg.
Absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely. Greg Cosell, if you didn't like that, you don't like football.
I mean, Steve Sable, you know, obviously Ed Sable, Steve's dad, is like the inventor of NFL films, but Steve did so much to further everything that they've done, and most of us grew up on that stuff, and that's his guy, that's his mentor. It's just a really cool opportunity for us to talk about that in the off season and really get into the nitty-gritty of the whole thing.
I like when we have people like that. I mean, I know that he doesn't think about it, but I do. I think about him being one of those guardians of the game, you know, and to have him and to have him speak historically about things that are happening right now is dope.
Yeah, we could do an off-season one, Lawrence, where all we do is talk about, because I love Blood, Sweat, and Chalk as you do, and like his idea of the cyclical nature of the league. Let's just talk about, all right, so the 46 was stopped by this, right? Or the West Coast offense was like invented to counter Lawrence Taylor and the emergence of the demon edge rusher, you know?
And then and I mean, all the choices that were made on how to beat cover two.
Yes.
And how unique the Bears version of it was, because they had the unicorn. Like, everyone plays cover two, but it was hard to play it like the Bears because you didn't have a linebacker who could backpedal 30 yards and cover the deep middle like Lovie Smith had. And if you have that, it changes everything on how you can cover. So it's stuff like that to me that is just absolutely fascinating, and I'm glad that Greg had
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Time. Why don't we do a little bit more football stuff in our football hour here on Spiegel and Holmes? Because you might want to stay tuned. Greg had some thoughts about Caleb Williams.
Uh-oh.
So did his good friend Ross Tucker. Don't go anywhere. You need to hear this next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.